Now, when a person like me stands up here and talks about goals and like plans for the future, I know for me that one of the biggest fears in goal setting is the fear of failure. Fear of failure. And I know for me that that fear of failure will even sometimes prevent me from making goals in the first place. But the most dangerous thing that I've learned about the fear of failure when it comes to me is that it can lead you to believe that you can't change at all. I mean, you just stop trying. There are just some areas in your life you're like, no, God can't really change me. I can't unforgive. I can't get out of this particular addiction. I keep going back to the same thing. I think I'm going to have to live with this my whole life. That is a complete lie. It's a complete lie. If Jesus didn't think that he could transform the human heart, he would have never come. That would have never been a goal of his. Let that just sink in a bit. Let that permeate into every corner of your heart, every corner of your addicted, stubborn, insecure, unforgiving, fear-filled heart. Think about that. You can change. You were meant for change. You were meant to transform. You were meant to more and more, in ever-increasing glory, reflect the image of God. You can change. In fact, the cornerstone of our faith, why we're here today, is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that transforms every single person who comes to faith in him from death to life. This concept of death to life was so powerful, so ingrained in the early church that the early church adopted another symbol of this death to life experience, this thing called baptism, where you get immersed in water. It represents this remarkable transformation. So today, we're really blessed in 2019 to start off 2019 really strong. We're going to start off 2019 with a bang. We're going to have a baptisms. We're going to have baptisms today. Amen? Sound good? It's going to be great. So good. Two people are going to be baptized today. Yvonne Liang, she's going to be baptized. She's been attending SCAC since she was in elementary school. She's back on college break, and she really, really wanted to be baptized. And then Van Hong, he's been at SCAC just a few years, and he's, for a lot of you know him, just love him, and he's going to be baptized, and he just got back from Urbana as well, and I'm so proud to be his mentor as well, man. Love Van, meeting with him, and we're going to be able to hear the stories from both of them. Now, for some of you that are here today, you might be new to church, and we're so glad that you're here to join us today. And maybe this is something new, experiencing a baptism service. So I just want to talk about it a little bit. Baptism is this. It's a public expression of somebody who has put their faith, put their trust in Jesus. The water that they're going to be immersed into is just a symbol. It's symbolic of grace. You're immersed in God's grace. It's cleansing grace, bondage-breaking grace, sin-erasing grace, forgiving and reconciling grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That type of grace. And the idea is that we're always dripping, not in finesse. We're dripping in God's grace. And the Apostle Paul, he once described baptism like this in 1 Corinthians 10. He said, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, it might sound like a weird passage to talk about baptism, but a lot of you probably, even if you don't go to church, probably know the story of Moses. And what Paul is, how he freed the rest of the Israelites out of Egypt, and they crossed, and God parted the waters and crossed through the sea. A lot of people know that story. And so what Paul is doing, he's making a parallelism between the baptism that the Israelites, when they walked through the sea, and how they immersed, how they came up on the other side, with what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so I'll just briefly summarize the story. Israel, they were enslaved by the Egyptian Empire for about 400 years. generation after generation, all they knew was control. They were controlled by someone else, Pharaoh. Everyone's life was predetermined. They were going to be a slave to Pharaoh. Not much hope in that. God, of course, he did some miracles, and the Israelites were allowed to leave. But on their journey out of Egypt, Pharaoh had a change of heart. He gathered his chariots, and he wanted to commit another genocide and mow them all down. The Israelites, they were pinned against the Red Sea. And at that moment, some of the Israelites cried out to Moses, and they said, we never should have pursued freedom. Let's go back. Let's make a deal with Pharaoh. Let's become his slaves again. But even though they had these complaints, God showed up in a miraculous way. He parted the sea, and they passed through it. And so when the Israelites, if you think about it, if you're in that moment, as they're walking down onto dry land and you have the water, you know, up beside them, there was a transformation that was taking place as they were stepping into the sea, as they were stepping into that experience. They were facing their fears. Obviously, they would have to choose freedom on the other side versus saying, I want to go back and serve under Pharaoh. They would have to choose life over here instead of death. They would have to choose to go towards God versus going to Pharaoh. They would have to put their complete dependence on God. And so that's what happened. They passed through, and of course you know that the Egyptian army came in, the waters were enclosed, and the enemy was defeated. So when you come up after an experience like that, and you're standing on the other side of the shores, there's a change that happens in your heart, no doubt about it. When they went down into the water, they were slaves. When they came up out of the water, they were free. When they went down into the water, they were in danger, mortal danger. When they came up out of the water, they were safe in the hand of God. And when they went down into the water, they were fearful of Pharaoh. When they came up out of the water, they knew God's love. And when they went down into the water, all they sensed was death all around them. When they came up out of the water, they never felt more alive. And so Paul, he just makes this parallel that this is what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. But rather than defeating a Pharaoh or the Roman Empire or the Roman Emperor, what Jesus Christ did through his death is he defeated the greatest power that's over us, and that is sin, and that is death, and that is evil. Before Christ, we're controlled by sin and death. Can't escape it. Sin controls you. After Christ, we're led by the Spirit of God. Before Christ, we are enslaved to sin. After Christ, we are free to love. Before Christ, we have no hope. After Christ, we have an eternal spring of hope that doesn't come from us. It's living water in our souls for eternity. So baptism, it's this powerful symbolic reenactment that we've died to our old life, and we're immersed in God's grace, and we're raised to being born again, dripping with grace because of this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense, church? Amen? Amen. All right, amen. So we're going to have two testimonies today, and I want to invite Van to come up and share a story. Would you guys give Van a big hand?
First, can I just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for this beautiful day where my friends, family, loved ones can come here and just hear about how much you've changed me, how much you've been a light in me. Just pray that as I share my testimony, for me to not be too nervous and for me to just continue to be an example of your grace and your love. We lift up all of this in your name. Amen. All right. Hi, everyone. It is such a privilege to be speaking here in front of everyone today. My name is Van Hong, and I've been going to SCAC for roughly 2 years, which is around the same time I first heard of Jesus. A little background about myself. For many people here, that grew up in the church, I grew up in the temple. For about half of my life, I went to a Vietnamese Sunday school where I was part of a Buddhist youth group. Within those 13 years, I learned a great amount of Buddhism, Buddhist teachings and practices. One of the main practices for this religion is the attempt to rid of all desires, emotional, physical, and spiritual desires. By doing that, you're supposedly rid of all immoral temptations, and essentially, the accumulation of your good deeds would also be a weight towards redeeming your fate. Basically, my parents are they're strong practicing Buddhists and desire to pass all their beliefs and traditions and enforcing them on my two full-blood siblings and myself. By doing this, they wanted to shape us in the way they wanted their children to be. You know, their strong resilience during the Vietnam War, fleeing from government tyranny, starting with nothing after immigrating to the States to live the American dream, and practicing their beliefs led to relying on themselves and their family during times of adversity. Whatever life threw at them, they would put up a mask and just power through with what was thrown to them. I'm so grateful for everything they've done to raise my siblings and I, considering the numerous hardships and barriers they've faced. Unfortunately, it wasn't until I was in high school when our family was challenged with a traumatic incident that changed me. My older brother passed away during the summer of 11th grade from a drowning accident. This led to so much guilt, pain, and shame for my parents, my older sister, and I. Entering my junior year in high school, I didn't know how to fully process this incident. The one who drove me to school when I missed the bus chased me around the house because I kept on messing around with him when he got home from work. And the one that just made sure I was never hungry, he was gone for my life. I was advised for my parents to put up my mask, to act like everything was okay, to suppress my emotions and continue persevering. Putting on this mask became this natural instinct for me as I continued on with my life, finishing high school, attending university, entering my gap years, working, and continue building my career. After my brother Mark passed away, I developed a void that was filled with discontent. There was this pressure for my parents to continue what they wanted, especially as they grew older. I became self-critical of my successes and internalized my failures. The beliefs and traditions I was raised with didn't answer this void I felt. In fact, it made things more difficult. I fell ill easily whenever I got stressed. Work was always tiring, and I sustained a few injuries. I felt like I was in the body of a 60-year-old. I thought to myself, is this all there is to life? Constant striving, persevering to clear the shame and any future consequences? What is my purpose and why am I here? It wasn't until I had a deep conversation with a friend that talked about her faith and allegiance to a man named Jesus Christ. I began going to church with her, started learning about God, his creation, and his desire to have a relationship with us. After weeks of going to church, worshiping God, and listening and discussing the sermon, I felt a sense of hope for the first time in a long time and began to have a healthy perspective and lens of what was out there in this world. The void I felt started to fill. I wasn't just happy, but joyful about life and for those around me. I was hesitant to what I was experiencing, so I began going to different churches by myself to reassure if this change wasn't simply just because of my friend. It wasn't until a few churches later where I stumbled upon SCAC from another friend. During my time at SCAC, my faith solidified. I began learning more of the love Jesus has for us and how we are redeemed not through our acts, but through his power and blood. Ephesians 2 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I was once overwhelmed with so much emotion to know about this type of love. This type of love that gave life and renewal. So after one service, I started crying. These weren't tears of anger or sorrow that were continually shed for my brother's loss, but tears of joy and of grace. For in the house of God, I felt consoled and protected. For in the house of God, I was comfortable to have this mask off. Over these past few years, I personally have heard from the Lord of his love for me and his encouragement for self-care. I've struggled with criticism and rejection from my parents after sharing them my faith and the search for my identity these past few years. But over this past week at Urbana, in one of the prayer rooms, I heard from Jesus reassurance that he loves me, that I am his son, and he is with me. His grace is so good, and for I am a faithful witness of his glory and plan. And so, brothers and sisters, I first want to thank my closest friends for the constant support and accountability you guys have provided. I want to thank everyone at this church, especially Pastor Roy, Pastor Tung, those in my fellowships, community groups, and Sunday schools, and everyone else that has been with me during my walk. And last, to thank God, who is a healing, glorious, and victorious God. I will still miss Mark and will continue to struggle with my old self and upbringings. And that shows how much I need Jesus. Jesus has done so much for me and for all of us. And I want to share him with those who haven't heard of him. He has given me trust, clarity, wisdom, and direction. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know that for sure I want to honor him and advance his kingdom. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Yvonne, and before I start my testimony, I want to give special thanks to Pastor Roy and Yolanda for making this possible for me. I didn't think that I was going to be able to get baptized this early. Thank you. So when I was in fifth grade, my mom sent me to SCAC because of how naughty I was, and she was hoping that the church would teach me good morals and how I should behave. And growing up in church, I've always identified myself as a Christian, though I didn't truly understand what it means to be a Christian. Then came junior year of high school, and that year was a turnaround for me. Through much pain, I started to really see God's work in me, his mercy and his grace, and how he allowed me to suffer to receive something much greater, a relationship with him. Many things happened that year. It started off with the discovery that my dad have been unfaithful to my mom and our family. And when he told my mom that he had a son outside of their marriage, my mom collapsed, and she was in severe depression. Meanwhile, we lived on Beacon Hill, but then our landlord wanted to sell her house, so then we were forced to move out. And due to financial and other reasons, we ended up moving 6 times in less than 2 years. It was painful. And all these, all this happened during my junior and senior year, my two busiest years of high school. I was taking like 5 AP classes, very active in clubs, and while applying to colleges. And because of everything that were happening at home, I was unwilling to compromise anything that might hurt my chance of getting into a good college. And also believe firmly that a good education is the way out of poverty and that my mom will only have me to rely on in the future. I was overwhelmed, to say the least. My family broke me. Having to move so many times and the heavy workload in school were like chili pepper and salt rubbed into my wounds. Although I felt so lonely, so dead and empty inside, my faith in God was the one thing that kept me going. I turned to God, constantly seeking for his presence, this great loving God that I've been hearing for years. And I started praying a lot. Somehow I felt God's presence and as if he held tight on me every time I thought I was about to sink into deep waters. At one point during the summer between my junior and senior year, we couldn't find a home and we had to stay in my uncle's place. But my uncle's place was very packed already, and I didn't want to add any more trouble to my uncle or be a burden to my mom. So I just packed some of my essentials and went homeless for a month without my family knowing. Being homeless was scary. I had to constantly worry if I'd have a place to stay the next day, who was going to keep me, how would I be able to return a favor in the future, and all that. All those worries added to my fear and desperation. Then I came across Luke 12:24. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? I felt like my heart was resurrected. I held tight to the verse and trusted that God would provide for me and that he has the best plan for me. And he really did provide for me. I had a roof over me every night I was homeless. And he for sure did have planned out everything for me. Through all the pain and fear, I learned to seek God as my refuge and my cornerstone, the one whom I can always rely on for everything and at all times. He also taught me how to be resilient by trusting in him, how I can be so loved by him and the wonderful people he put in my life who helped me walk through my darkest days. I also started to see the good things in my life differently, not as a coincidence, but as blessings from a loving God. Towards the end of my senior year, we finally found ourselves a stable home. I also got in Carnegie Mellon with a very good financial package. And my mom finally ended the unhealthy relationship with my dad and walked out of depression. When all these good things happened to me, I was able to see and embrace God's love for me. All that happened to me in the last 2 years can't be a coincidence. There must be a loving God who's always out there watching, caring for me. And the more I learn about him, the more I experience him and his love for me, the more I want to be with him. He's above all things, all else in my heart, for all my days. Thank you so much for listening.
Amen. Amen. Can we give those guys a hand again for just being so vulnerable, super vulnerable. Some amazing stories. Thank you for being so open. I just want to take some time now for really for the Spirit of God to speak to you all. So I invite you to bow your heads. And I love the verse that Yvonne had, that, you know, how God is the one who, you look out into nature and he takes cares of things. He takes care of the birds in the field, and how much more Will God take care of you? How much more valuable does God see you? How much more has God done to express his love for you? If you've ever wondered or doubted about the love of God, if it's real, that's why in about every church you go into, there's a cross. And the cross is symbolic of Jesus' death on the cross. He died on the cross because all of the weight of sin and guilt and all of the carnage, the chaos that we cause in our own life and in this world, was all placed on Jesus. He took our place. We deserve, we're worthy of death, but he died for us. He took our place. So in this moment, when you think about what the cross means, and you heard these verses that how much more God loves us than the birds of the field, and how much more will take care of us, and how much it's not about how good we are, how good we act, but it's about Jesus' saving act on our behalf. Would you allow God in this moment to speak to you, to tell you how much he loves you? Would you be open, maybe for the first time in your life, to just listening and asking, Jesus, would you just speak to me? Would you speak to me and tell me about your love for me? Would you take a minute and just listen? Thankful, Lord, for all your good gifts. And thank you that you are a God that's not far off, but a God that is actually continually speaking to us. And we just celebrated Christmas, and we know that your name is Emmanuel, that you came to be with us, and that you never leave us nor forsake us. You're a God that is continually reaching out, constantly reaching out, constantly seeking to get our attention so that we might know you and respond to your love. Thank you for making yourself known to Van and to Yvonne and to many here. And we pray that you continue to speak and make yourself known to others. They might know and experience your love as well. Thank you for this time today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church.